this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time. Welcome back to Wellness in Dentistry. Today we're going to be talking about success amnesia. Very interesting topic that many dentists and dental professionals suffer from. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I'm a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And you guys are joined by your other co-host and my good friend, Dr. Martin Mendelson. He's a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, thought leader, and an author. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. And before we get started, we want to remind you that May 9th and 10th, we are going to be giving our transformational two-day continuing education course at Glidewell in Irvine, California. You get 12 CE credits. It's some of our favorite days of the year. We have incredible video testimonials. So you could check that out. Go to wellnessdentistry.com, go to our links, and look at our live events. So make sure you sign up for that because the last one did sell out. So, Martin.
Yes.
Success amnesia. This was something that I first heard from you.
Yes.
This is a topic that you first like kind of coined in my mind.
Yes.
What is it? Why is it a problem in dentistry? And then we'll get to later what we can do about it.
Yeah. So I'll define it for you, tell you the story about when this came to me, and then we can kind of pivot to dentistry itself. So success amnesia is as it sounds, I believe, meaning you forget about what created the success that you're living today. And so the extension of that is you're negating all of the small steps that led to the big steps. And so for those of you who have heard me speak before, I'm very into the idea that happiness leads to success, not the other way around, which was from a meta-analysis by Lubomirsky. And it's the idea that when we finally get to a given place or that big event or big accomplishment, should we be celebrating that or all the steps that got us there to begin with? So where did this come from? I was coaching a dentist who was having trouble organizing their desk. Now, you may have a messy desk, you may have a clean desk, but whichever way it is, I bet you it's been that way for a while. Clean or messy, fair? And so we had worked through what was getting in their way, et cetera, et cetera. And for many weeks, I would ask, how's the desk coming? And wasn't any progress. Then one day, we were talking about something else, and I went, wait, how's the desk coming? Oh yeah, I got that cleaned up. I was like, whoa, stop. I was like, can we take a step back for a minute? They were so laissez-faire about the fact that they did something that they couldn't seem to do forever. That's kind of where this idea came from to begin with. So when it comes to dentistry, whether it's procedurally, clinically, or from a management or team leadership perspective, there's so many steps that go into everything. And often we're looking for these like big wins or big successes or big amazing clinical outcomes. And we forget all the steps that came before it. So that's what success amnesia is.
Yeah, forgetting how many great things you've done to get to where you are now.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to be posting something soon that talks about, remember in dental school when you dreamed about having what you have now?
Yes. Yep.
Because it's hedonistic adaptation where,
yes,
gosh, if I just had an associate job, I would be so excited.
Yep.
And then if I just had an associate job that made 200K, I'd be so excited. Then if I just own my own practice. And then if I just own my own practice that produced $1 million. If I just own my own practice that did full arch. If I just own my own practice that, you know, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And then it's to the point of where if I just retire with $5 million, if I just have this. And I was having this conversation the other day. I was talking with someone And we were talking about cars. And so we were talking about Porsches. And he says, "Oh, what do you have?" And I told him what I have. And I have a few. And he was like, "Wow, that's like really cool. Like, did you ever think that you would have something like that?"
Yeah.
And I had to kind of stop and be like, "Wow, no, like I didn't think I would have this.
Totally.
Like, I have a really great life right now. And this is the life I'm living right now. You know, I want to complain that my both my kids are sick right now. My wife is sick right now.
Oof.
You know, we were dealing with the fires in LA. Like, there's a lot of stuff to complain about. But I mean, this is what I dreamed about. What I'm living right now is like what I dreamed about. If I think about in dental school, oh my gosh, it's crazy. And I think that so many dentists are like that. But it's so easy to adapt to whatever is normal now.
Well, and I would like to point out the research you brought up about hedonistic adaptation or hedonic adaptation, depending on which study you read. That was not done on dentists, folks. It was that some of the original research was conducted on lottery winners. And so I think this is a really important inflection point because what they discovered was winning a very large sum of money in the lottery made people happy for a relatively short period of time. And then they went back to their baseline level of happiness, whatever that was for them. So looking for, I'll use that one example, having an associate position that gets you 200K a year. And when you get there, then the question becomes, okay, now what? And so one of my themes this year that I haven't said in the last couple episodes is that what we as dentists do at the chair is unique. Everything else is not. And, I gotta say, I was online last night and I noticed somebody in the marketing space in dentistry post something about, looking for feedback relative to why their course wasn't selling. And somebody piped up, somebody of note and well regard, really kind of lashed back at this individual and basically said several times, well, you're not a dentist, so you don't get And I thought, and I just started chuckling, and I thought to myself, wait a minute. So what you're basically saying is that accountants shouldn't tell us what to do because they're not dentists and they haven't been there. Our sales folk that support us, our industry partners that do gobs of R&D on all the materials, we shouldn't listen to them either. And I thought to myself, there's other people that have success amnesia. There's other people that have gotten to a place and have learned from all those individual steps to get them to where they are today. And I think we need to be careful not to be so myopic on where we are today and look at the broader picture and look to that to get us through the hard days, number one. And number two, use it as a methodology to evaluate where the missteps were if that big thing that you were looking for, whatever it is, didn't happen, whether that's business or clinical. So what do
I
you
think
think
that
about that?
I think there's something to be said about a profession that takes a long time to get to, that, you know, it's like, oh, well, if I get into this college, I'll be happy. And then if I get into this dental school, I'll be happy. And then if I graduate dental school, I'll be happy. And then, you know, like I said before, if I get a residency, then I'll be happy. And then if I get into associateship, then if I own and then I'm an owner. I think there's something to be said about like you finally get there, but you never feel like you're done. There's so much more to do. It's like, okay, yes, I'm a practice owner, but holy crap, that means I have to learn HR and I have to learn hiring and firing and I have to learn accounting and I have to do all this stuff. I think that has something to do with it.
Well, and I think yes, because there's a couple elements there. There's always something to learn. Things are always changing. I mean, look, I graduated dental school in 1996. The way we're providing dental care today and the materials and the technologies with which we provide said care is like light years ahead, right? So there is a need to continually educate yourself and stay up on the latest. While at the same time, there's a danger of allowing that to be more in your present head than the accomplishments of the past, aka the topic of today, success amnesia. So you could even go back to other research on gratitude and Seligman's work, writing three things a day you were grateful for per day for 7 days and stop. Between the individuals that did that and the control group that were on antidepressant medication, those that simply wrote down three things a day they were grateful for had higher levels of life satisfaction, lower levels of depression, and higher levels of happiness than that control group at 1, 3, and 6 month evaluation intervals. So it goes back almost to what the hell do you want to focus on?
The problem is we're focusing on the destination, not the journey.
Yeah.
But how do we focus on the journey? Because I'm guilty of this.
Sure.
I'm still guilty of this. I
Yeah.
still struggle with this.
Yeah. So let me use a story from my life that happened this year. It's been many months since I've told it, so I'm okay to tell it again. And then I'll give a dental example. So I live in Phoenix, and this past August, when it was 110 degrees, we blew a tire. And where did we blow the tire? We blew the tire on the way into a parking lot because we were doing a food pilgrimage to get some ice cream. So, okay, blew a tire, wasn't happy about that. 100 degree heat. We're in the parking lot. I go on the AAA app. They say it's going to be an hour. Okay, well, let's go get our damn ice cream because that's why we're here. While we're in line to get ice cream, they then tell me it's only going to be 20 minutes. While I'm waiting, eating my ice cream, which was amazing, by the way, it was like one of those artisan places.
You told me about this place.
Yeah, I go on the app, and the app gives you a bunch of tire places to choose from, and none of them are open on this weekend day, which happened to be a Sunday. So then the tire truck comes up, or the tow truck dude, super nice man, like such a nice man. He looks at me because he said, "Where do you want to tow? Where do you want me to tow you to? By the way, because you have like the mid-tier membership, I could take you anywhere in 100 miles." And I went, "Oh, well, I didn't know that." Or I guess forgot. Well, there's a tire place 1.7 miles from my house. He took us there. They were open. They were the only one that I saw that I researched. So we're talking out of almost two dozen, they were the only one open. And they had tires on sale 2 for 1. So I spent about, let's round it up, $1,200, which is pretty cheap for a Tesla, right? So was I happy I spent the $1,100, $1,200? No.
But
Was I
you didn't know you
happy?
were going to spend.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and what did I choose to focus on? Now, I got news for you. The old me would have been grumpy about this whole thing. But what did I do? I flipped the script, Kyle. I said, we didn't break down on the side of the road.
Yeah, we're
We
safe.
already paid to AAA to get us towed. We got towed to a place a mile from our house. Holy smokes, they were on sale. And I still got my ice cream. And so by the time the day was over, I was so focused on the happy stuff that the negative stuff wasn't as impactful. So let's flip this to dentistry. Many of my clients have had team turnover recently. Now, in a couple of cases, it was complete, but that's the minority. And so the question becomes, when you're having a really tough day with one or two members of your team, what about the one, two, or three numbers are relevant, depends on the side of your practice, that you really love, that have been there for many years, that bend over backwards for you and vice versa? Like, are we going to choose to focus on the people that are giving us grief, or do we choose to focus on the people that are not? Because at the end of the day, it's still a choice. And so, you know, when it comes to success in practice, there's so many things that go into it. And so when you're having a difficult day, you do have the opportunity to go back into your database, aka your brain, to look at those things that were a success for you to focus on that instead of focusing on the negative stuff.
So I'm hearing if you want to focus on the journey and not the destination, it's more about optimism and gratitude.
Yeah, and I want to make
And
something
making
very,
that choice.
yes, and I want to make something very clear. I am not talking about ignoring the negative, and I'm not talking about the concept good vibes only. That's toxic. If you were to engage, sorry, not engage, if you were to come upon a really negative situation, my standard practice, both in my own life and from my learnings and my certifications, is a three-step process. This really sucks. That's step one. I acknowledge it. Step two, I do whatever I need to do to work through and work past those emotions. If I need to take a walk, if I need to take 10 breaths, if I need to go get ice cream, you get the idea. And then once we work through that and we feel ourselves starting to come out of it, then we turn to what can I learn from this slash what am I grateful for? So you then start to turn the attention on the positive stuff, having mourned the negative stuff. Now, depending on the severity of the situation, that might take 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, or 2 months. And I can tell you both from my own experience, the experience of my clients and others in my, shall we say, field that discuss this, there's a universal experience that when you do employ and deploy these tactics over the long term, you start to notice that you recover much more quickly from a
Yeah.
blown tire on the side of the road when it's 110 degrees.
That is something that I have really experienced personally and seen in people that have taken my courses is things used to bother me for a long time. So let's say that patient comes in, you did something, they come back, they say they don't like it, they want their money back, they want you to redo it, something like that. Like I used to stay up thinking about these people for weeks, if not months. Now, after I went through burnout, it's not like bad things don't happen to me. When they do, I recover much faster. And it happened just like you're talking about. Let's say it used to be 6 weeks. Even if I went to 5 weeks, it was better.
Of
Then I
course.
got to the point of where it was 2 weeks or 1 week. And then it got to the point of where, I mean, some kind of stuff happens now. And like, I mean, this is kind of a terrible thing to say even, but like, you know, we were worried, we lost power when the fires were happening because they were turning off our electricity so that there were no new fires. We didn't have a fire close, but I mean, I still have a bag packed sitting right next to me that is all of our stuff, you know, that we basically
Well,
need.
yeah,
And I
you live in
remember telling my wife,
England,
like, if we have to leave, like, if our house burns down, our house burns down, like, at least we're safe. You know, and I can't think of my old self saying that. And I think so much of it is that I've worked on this.
Oh, 100%.
And a lot of it for me is self-awareness. And I think that when we're talking about success amnesia, self-awareness is a huge part. And I'm trying to describe how I felt before I went through my burnout, but it was almost like I was on this fast track train that I didn't realize I was on. And then once you have self-awareness, you can still be on the train, but I have realization that I'm on the train. I don't know if that even makes sense, and maybe you have a better way of explaining it.
Well, so what you were making me think of is how I describe the reality that all we have is the present. So you're sitting in your present. Your past has already happened. Your future hasn't happened yet. So looking at the future with positivity is just as valid as looking at it with negativity because neither has happened yet.
Yeah.
And then what happens is when you do get to that future place that you are anticipating, this might bend your brain a little bit, that's now your present.
Right.
So all you actually have is the present. So if you are so focused on the past or the future, you are actually robbing your present. Now, what I will say is something very important at this juncture, which is this. If you are in a place where you are ruminating repeatedly over things, you feel like you can't get past things, you have physiologic reactivity to those thoughts, like stomach upset, etc., please seek the care of a mental health professional, a therapist, psychiatrist, psychologist, because particularly in my coach training, and I've taken this very seriously, there are certain red flags relative to when the intervention of a mental health professional is warranted. And that's one of them. When we can't get over stuff, we keep ruminating over it, it's affecting our lives, we're feeling, quote, anxiety, however that manifests for you. And so if that's happening and you feel stuck and you can't get over it, please seek the care of a mental health professional.
I'm thinking about this success amnesia, and I think we almost need to define success first, right? Because with dentists, we like to define success with our profession. So, how much am I producing? Am I doing those cool full arch cases? Am I doing this new thing that I saw at this? Do I have this big practice? Do I have multiple practices? Oh, I only have one. I must be a loser because everybody I know has nine practices, Am I a speaker? Am I doing publishing articles? Like, we have to make sure that our success is not only tied to our profession, number one. What are your thoughts?
So I would define success in this context as any step that moved you toward your goal, whatever that goal may be. That's how I would define it. Now, does that mean?
That means we need to know what our goals are.
Correct.
We need to know what our values are and what our priorities are.
Correct. And so I want to be very clear here as well. Let's make this a dental school scenario. A step toward reaching your goal, which is the degree, is passing, operative dentistry. Okay. So you've passed operative dentistry. You got a B and you wanted an A. So we are still making progress toward said goal. And at the same time, we didn't achieve the level of grade recognition that we were initially looking toward. So the me of today, not the me in dental school, I wish I had this stuff in dental school. The me of today would have been like, okay, I'm going to be grateful and celebrate the fact that I progressed past this course and received a B. While at the same time, I'm a little bit, whatever word you want to use, disappointed, disgruntled, upset, whatever, that I didn't achieve what I set my mind to achieve. What could I have done differently that will serve me later when I have to jump into another course or procedure, etc.? And so it's some might say that I'm kind of splitting hairs, but I'm okay with that because the opposite of not splitting those hairs is not celebrating that you passed the course, not celebrating that you got a good mark. It is solely and simply beating yourself up that you got an A, not a B.
Do you think you need someone else, or maybe not need, do you think it helps to have someone else that you're close to remind you about the great things you've done?
Yes. And actually, I don't remember what we were talking about, but this is really embarrassing. So I was hanging out with my friend Justin, and we were in my hot tub at my house. And I was complaining about this is like 2018, 2019. I don't remember what we were talking about, but we're sitting there, and I was complaining about something. And he looks at me, he pauses, and he says, in this way, you ready? Your life is so hard. And it caused me to pause. And I thought, holy smokes, like, what the heck am I doing? So I do think the answer is yes. I think that not only is it valuable to have people in your life to keep you in check, I would almost argue that although very true statement, one of my most favorite of yours, nobody understands a dentist like a fellow dentist. I will say though that at the same time, there's a great place for, let's say, a business owner not in dentistry to be connecting with to keep these thought processes in check. Like I know a bunch of dental colleagues that own practices that are part of like BNI or part of that Young Entrepreneurs Group and things of that nature. So they're still business owners. They still have risks of loans and employees and payroll, et cetera. They're just not providing dentistry. So yeah, I think there's a huge place for that.
Yeah, it's funny. That's exactly what I thought of when you said what Justin said to you is like, oh, he doesn't know. Because that can be very negative, right? Too is
Yeah.
when you are in a low point and you don't get sympathy.
Yeah.
Because from the outside, you're a doctor, you're a business
Yeah.
owner,
Yeah.
you're well respected, you're
Yeah.
well educated. That can be a little bit of toxic positivity in certain senses. But I think it
Absolutely.
also, when you have a friend that really knows you,
Yeah.
that can say, like, well, gosh, look at all the great stuff you've
Yeah,
done.
exactly.
That can be helpful too. So it's really like a double-edged sword there. I think
It
a lot of dentists, when they're talking to non-dentists, do get that. Well, what do you mean? Like, come on, you've got this
Yeah.
great practice, and I
Yeah.
saw what you post on Instagram. It was
Yeah.
beautiful, and like,
Yeah.
look, you drive a nice car, and your husband or wife is so great, and your kids are great. Like, some of that can be very challenging when you're at a low point, and you just like want someone to understand what you're going through. But I also think it does help to have friends that can build you up and remind you a lot of the great things you've done.
Yeah,
And
I
I
would
think some
agree.
of it comes from in dentistry. We never really have time to celebrate our successes. And I talk about this in more of a clinical success. So let's say you see eight patients. And the first case you do an onlay and you really nice margins and you finish it and you just have to do a minor little adjustment occlusally and the patient's so happy. And you can look and be like, wow, that turned out really nice. Doctor, you're needed in room five, patient's having
Yeah.
pain. And you never really get to ruminate on in a good way of like, wow, that was like a great case. Like I did it minimally invasively. The lab did a good job. The team worked really well. Oh, that's so great. It's like we're
So,
constantly dealing with patients that have problems,
yeah.
and we rarely get to just sit and be like, wow, that case was freaking awesome.
So you bring up a really interesting point that comes up all the time when I speak, which is this: how much time are we taking in our morning huddles, which I sincerely hope you're doing, to celebrate the good stuff? Because many people look at huddles as a methodology, not incorrectly so, to identify challenges, problems, and beat them off at the pass or beat it, whatever that phrase is, so that it doesn't happen. And that's It's valid, it's warranted, it's useful. However, if all we're focusing on are those challenges, what do you think we're going to see during the day, right?
So true. And I think as
And
dentists, I mean, humans tend to go negative in general just because it keeps
yeah.
us alive. I think it's kind of an
Yeah.
evolutionary thing, right? Focus on the
Yeah.
negatives, keep yourself alive. But also, as dentists, we're such problem solvers. I think we love solving problems
Yeah.
that it's so easy to focus on that. And that's challenging when you're managing people because
It is.
sometimes you have front office team members or associates or dental assistants or hygienists that can work like that. And like,
Yeah.
yeah, just tell me what I'm doing wrong so that I can do better. But a lot of people need to have that balance. And it's just like kids, it's just like dogs, right? I mean, I remember when I was training my bulldog 12 years ago and reading a bunch of books and really getting deep into this. I'm really into dog training. And they talked about rewarding positive instead of,
Yeah.
telling them when they did something wrong. And it's just like children. And
It's
that's,
true.
and when I zoom out even more, that's just humans in general, is
Yeah.
like, or maybe all beings now that I think about dogs too, is like, if we focus on the positive more and reward the positive more, I think that's a better way of doing it.
Well, and it, frequency bias then kicks in, also known as the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. What you focus on, you will see. And, in my coach training, there were a couple foundational principles, and one of them had to do with assumption. And for whatever reason, this really spoke to me. And basically, it's a concept, and everybody understands this word, but let me paint a different picture. It's assuming that things are going to happen again just because they happened the first time. And part of the foundation principle was, unless every single damn variable is exactly the same, that is a foolhardy thought process. And the way I like to share this with clinicians, dentists, is to say, so I would never take away the challenges you've had with creating a cohesive team. I would never do that. And I would also never disrespect you by negating all the challenges that you've had. By the same token, let's flip the script, shall we? Can you imagine if you were someone, a human being, sitting in your waiting room, waiting to be interviewed by you, and they knew that your thoughts were as follows? Well, I'm sure you're going to be just like everybody else because nobody wants to work anymore. And you're just going to like give me some kind of lip service and then do whatever the hell you want. And maybe you'll be here for 5 years and then you'll leave and, you'll screw me over in the end anyway. Can you imagine? But nobody ever talks like that, do they? Or admits it.
It's just this whole I mean, so much of what we're talking about today has really come down to gratitude and optimism and positivity, which is a topic that we talk about all the time. And it's funny how so much personal growth boils down to that. It's like
The
what you
old
talk about all the time is how everything in your life is neutral. And I remember when you first said that, I was like, okay, this is bullshit, but he's a cool guy, so I'll listen, right? And the more and more times I've heard this, there's that story about like I think it was like a Chinese fable or something, when it's like, oh, your horse ran away. And the guy says like, oh, okay. And then he says like, your horse came back. Oh my gosh, isn't that amazing? And the guy was like, yeah, okay. And then so the horse came back, and then it's like, oh, your son can ride the horse now. And then your son falls off the horse. Oh my gosh, isn't that terrible? And the guy's like, okay. And the son is hurt. And now the army says, oh, we're going to war. We need everybody to work. Oh, your son doesn't have to go to war. And the guy's, oh, okay. And it's kind of the same thing, right? Some of those things look positive, some of those things look negative. But how this person was looking at it was like, I don't really know if that's going to be good or bad yet.
And I want to say this in all candor. Take it from someone who endured self-imposed suffering for decades. The only person that's affected by your thought processes is you, nobody else. And so there is a huge cost that you bear by choosing certain thought processes. And again, remember, if something negative happens, that doesn't mean we're ignoring it. We are working through and working past it so that we can get to another place.
Do you
That's
think
what we're
we need to
talking about.
put like reminders or something? Does this need to be a task in order to, like, for example, right? I've had a very busy day today. I told you, this is our second time meeting today. We've been on with other people. I've had other podcasts. Also, both of my kids are sick. My wife is sick. So my daughter slept next to me, so I didn't sleep very well. Should I have a task at the end of my day to look for the positives on what I did right?
And so there's a lot of people that actually have morning huddles at the end of the day and call them PM huddles. And I think it's a very interesting thing because this came about because somebody was talking about the fact that their team has a staggered start time and the only time we're together is at the end of the day. Now,
Oh,
granted,
yeah.
that has certain challenges. I respect
Does.
that. While at the same time, I would say to you, yes, like sitting and taking a step back and thinking about the three things, driving home. You have a reminder something in your car to remind you to think about, okay, what three things am I grateful for today? Now, very important point. Please don't judge the intensity of the gratitude. And what I mean by that is if somebody brought you Starbucks and it tasted amazing, that counts. So,
Waking up alive counts.
hell yes. Thank you.
You
Yeah.
know, having your, like, I just told you my family is sick. They're sick, but we don't have to go to the hospital. I
Right,
mean, they just have
exactly.
the flu or maybe the norovirus or something like
Exactly,
this. Like,
exactly. Every morning, I write my spouse a note. I've been doing that since 2019. And it's a little selfish and a little selfless because I use it as a way to thank for things or to say, I'm looking forward to this or I had a really good time there. So it's a double-edged sword. You know, he's getting a piece of gratitude from me. I'm engaging my own thought processes to be in that place.
do you get to experience him reading it?
No, but
Okay.
you know what I do
Because
get
you know
every
the research
year?
around that, right?
Yes,
If
true.
you give someone gratitude and you
Yes.
experience them receive it,
Yes.
you benefit so much by that.
So, what I will say though is 9 times out of 10, he will go out of his way to say, thank you for my note. And he's saved all of them, by the way. And so, you know, we're recording this on mid-January. And so just the other day, he was like, do you have one of those really big manila envelopes? I'm like, yeah, I think I have one more. And I gave it to him. And he goes, here's the stack from last year. And it was like this thick. You know, so for those that are just listening, it was at least 2 to 3 inches thick. And so to some degree, I do. But just the fact that I know he keeps them all is kind of cool, you know?
So what are your final thoughts on success amnesia?
I think at the end of the day, life's a journey, and we can choose to remember the path that can serve as a way to not only celebrate, but also serve us in the future. So when we get in a similar situations, we can more easily find our way out if it's a dark place. And so success amnesia or lack thereof, the acknowledgement of success can be used as a way to kind of keep us more positive, keep us more grounded, keep us from focusing on that negative stuff, which doesn't serve us, but without negating it, because it could be used as a tool to dig us out of those dark places as well.
My thoughts would just be, think back to yourself. Your
Yeah.
first year of dental school. You know nothing. Maybe you met a few dentists that you thought were cool or that were successful or that had this or that that you wanted. More than likely, you have what you dreamed of.
Yeah.
And if you don't have everything that you dreamed of, you probably have a lot. I mean, I
Yeah.
remember just thinking, gosh, when someone calls me doctor, how cool would that be? You know?
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this, more than likely, people call you doctor every day.
Yeah.
So, know that this profession is a journey. It's not a destination. And let's try to, put the line in the sand that we're going to take a second
Yep.
to have appreciation.
Yeah.
And that's one of the tenets of my dream sequence, because there's so much research on it, people. If you're a
Yep.
research nerd like Martin and I, there's so much research on having gratitude, having appreciation, knowing what you've been through, seeing that it's not the destination, that it is the journey.
Absolutely.
So, if you guys enjoyed this, send it to a colleague that may have success amnesia and may need to hear this. I know that when Martin and I send each other podcasts, it goes to the top of my list. By the way, Martin, the one you sent me about mindset, I just finally listened to it and it was really, really good.
Isn't
So,
it good?
thank
Yeah.
you for sending that to me.
Yeah.
And if you would like to join us for 2 days, go to wellnessanddentistry.com, go to our links, and you can sign up for Lightside Live. You get 12 CE credits, and it's in Southern California. So we hope to see you on the next episode, and thanks for all the support.
Take care.